Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. Welcome to the Fansider Podcast as we get ready for the Week 6 game between the Dolphins and the St. Louis Rams. This week we are joined by Kat from FinsRadio.net, Kurt from Fins.com, and our fantasy expert, James Morris. It's a Finsider, Fansider, Fantasy special here as we get ready for the Dolphins and the Rams. Guys, before we talk about St. Louis, let's look back at the Cincinnati game, and we'll start with Kat from FinsRadio.net. What did you take out of the Bengal game as far as, like, most encouraging? Because, you know, the week before against Arizona, you had all the gaudy stats, but obviously the bad result. Cincinnati, the stats were a lot more pedestrian, for lack of a better word, but you got the win. So what were you most encouraged about from the Bengal game?
First, I'd have to say, you know, the Dolphins running game was shut down, so it was great to see Ryan Tannehill complete some big throws, one of them being the 28-yarder to Devon Best that looked outstanding. And these big throws were a big difference in the game. And also for all the heat that Jeff Ireland's gotten over the last few years, some of it's deserved, some of it isn't. These second, third, and fourth-year players like Brian Hartline, John Jerry, Rashad Jones, Sean Smith, and Cohen Meacy are really starting to step it up. And the Dolphins have been kind of unable here to get – you know, some turnovers on defense, so that had a big impact on the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Rashad Jones, by the way. I don't know if you guys are into Pro Football Focus, but they've now got him, I think, rated as the top safety in the National Football League through the first five games of the season, which is incredible when you think about what we were saying about the safety spot coming into the season. Kurt from Fins.com, your most encouraging aspect of the win over Cincy?
Well, I guess there were a couple of things that I found especially encouraging. The first was that Ryan Tannehill didn't have any turnovers, and you have to give him a lot of credit for that because he's certainly come a long way in the first five games of the year. It's just incredible what he's managed to accomplish, especially considering the doubts that they had about him in the draft. And the other thing that I took away from it was this team has showed a lot of mental toughness. Two miserable, horrible losses, you know, in the overtime, and they came back strong, and they beat a tough Cincinnati team on the road. So this team certainly has a lot of mental toughness, and I think that'll carry them a long way this year.
Kurt just mentioned Ryan Tannehill. Let's get our first fantasy question of the day in with James Morris. He's our fantasy sports guru. James, I've been asked this question a lot by fans. Ryan Tannehill, he put up some gaudy numbers a week ago in Arizona, maybe as like a reserve guy, using him in a bye week type situation. How viable of an option is he right now in fantasy football?
Well, if you look at Ryan Tannehill as a fantasy quarterback overall, he's actually ranked 27th in NFL.com scoring for fantasy points, but his yardage numbers are right up there in line with some of the top quarterbacks in the league. He's 11th in the NFL right now. So his problem really is the touchdown to interception ratio. If he can just throw a few more touchdowns and obviously cut down the interceptions, which everybody would love to do, then he would definitely be a bye week filler. For right now, he is an option in the 14 team and deeper leagues, but he has to start throwing more touchdowns and get his number two and number three receivers more involved in the offense to truly be a fantasy factor going forward.
All right, some good insight back to the Dolphins as opposed to our fantasy teams. Let me ask you this, Kurt. Are you guilty of looking at this schedule and the next few weeks and saying, man, they could come out of this thing with a nice record over the course of the next month and a half? Are you one of those guys? Because I've been talking to a lot of those guys the last couple of days.
You bet I am. I mean, if you look at what's coming up and you look at how the season is turning out, they've got an excellent chance to get ahead of the game, to get set for that final run in December, which looks absolutely horrible. But they've got an excellent shot to come out of this with at least a winning record. It's not seriously putting them in contention.
Kat, what about you? You doing that WL game on the schedule for the next month and a half or so?
Man, I think Kurt nailed it with that. You know, we've got coming up here Rams, Jets, Colts, Titans, Bills, Seahawks. Those are all very winnable games. And then in the final five, we've got the Patriots twice and the 49ers. So if the Dolphins can find themselves, you know, needing to go into those last five games just winning two or three to win a playoff spot, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's very, very possible. You know, it's So the beating the Rams this weekend here to go to 3-3 heading into the bye week is that much more important.
Yeah, and there you go. You hit the last part on the head. Winning the game against the Rams and going into the bye at 3-3 is the first step to any sort of future success this team might have in 2012. Kat, I know you're in St. Louis. You went to the Rams game last Thursday night against Arizona. Give us your scouting report on the St. Louis Rams.
Well, I'll tell you first, this defense is no joke. They've let up 9 points in the last seven quarters. Former first-round picks Chris Long and Robert Quinn have combined for 9 sacks on the year. Linebackers James Laurinaitis and Jolon Dunbar are playing very well against both the run and the pass. But the biggest change with them is at cornerback with Cortland Finnegan and rookie Janoris Jenkins, who are both very, very physical ball hawks. And Brian Hartline and Devon Bess are going to be challenged this week by them. So if the Dolphins can, on the offensive line, continue to protect Ryan Tannehill very well, they have a very good shot at this game. The biggest loss for the Rams is Danny Amendola out 6 to 7 weeks now. He is every bit the player. He's every bit as important to the Rams as Wes Welker is to the Patriots. Amendola had 32 catches here in his first 4 weeks before getting hurt. And it's no coincidence that Amendola and Wes Welker both went to Texas Tech because they were very, very good route runners, too.
No, it's a good scouting report from Kat of FinsRadio.net. He is in St. Louis. He's got his finger on the pulse of that Rams team. Kurt, it's funny, you know, we talk about the Rams, and Amendola is obviously a guy that everybody knows about. There's a lot of talk about the resurgent defense, Cortland Finnegan, Janoris Jenkins. They've done huge things there in this first quarter plus of the season. But Sam Bradford is almost like not talked about as much. Former number one overall pick. And I don't know how good Sam Bradford is right now. I don't know how good he's going to be. But I feel like, Kurt, he's still a name that kind of scares you a little bit when you get ready to play him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he does. You know, you talk about him, former number one, and of course the Rams overall have been improved this year. And let's not forget the fact that Jeff Fisher is out there now, and I think he's added the toughness to their squad, you know, mental toughness to them that will help them a lot. You know, the Dolphins' formula for winning is going to be the same though against the Rams. It's been pretty much against everyone else. You know, they stop the run, they keep from giving up the big play, and on offense they're steady and they don't do turnovers. So you know, I think if they can continue along that line, limit the turnovers, limit the mistakes, you know, some of the guys like Charles Clay are going to be on notice this week, but if they can continue along those lines, that they do have an excellent chance to beat the Rams on Sunday.
All right, we just mentioned Sam Bradford, some of the other weapons. James, our fantasy guru, what do you think about the Dolphin defense from a fantasy perspective this week?
Well, if you look at the Dolphins defense, they're actually very underrated from a fantasy perspective. Right now, they're 10th in NFL.com overall fantasy scoring, and that's something a lot of people don't look at. And like we were just talking about, you know, heading into this game against the Rams, I think they're going to be a top-tier defense because, like we were just talking about with Amendola being out, who's their top three receivers now? Can you even name them? No. So I look at them as a top-tier defense. They're tied for fifth in the NFL with 15 sacks and fourth in the NFL with 7 interceptions. And Sam Bradford doesn't have anybody to throw to, and Steven Jackson is running on 2 flat tires these days. So I think they're a great defense to own going forward. They have some juicy matchups, and I think they're somebody that you can take off the waiver wire and they could lead you into your fantasy playoffs. And then as the schedule gets harder, you might have to switch them out. But for now, they're actually a very underrated fantasy defense.
Juicy matchups. I like the way that sounds for the Dolphins defense coming up. That was James Morris. He is our fantasy expert. You can read him every week on the Finsiders.com and Dolphins.com. Other participants on today's Finsider podcast, Kurt from Fins.com and Kat from FinsRadio.net. Kat was the winner this week. He gets to ask the fan question of the week presented by the Cayman Islands. You get to talk to Dolphin linebacker Jason Trusnik. Go ahead, Kat.
Yeah, my question for Jason is, you know, Darren Rizzi, ever since he took over as special teams coordinator last year, it seems that special teams unit has dramatically gotten better. Can you tell me a little bit more about Darren Rizzi compared to the other coaches you've played for in your career?
You know, Coach Rizzi, I think first off, you know, coming in last year with him and now being there this year, I think he gained a lot of respect from the players first off. You know, as a coach, when you can gain the respect of guys that are, you know, 20, 25, 30, and just all these different ages and different backgrounds. When you gain the respect from those guys and they want to play for you and go all out every play on special teams for one play and do their job, I think that just says a lot for him and what kind of guy he is. And then secondly, I think the schemes he brings in and the weekly schemes against each other team, he knows what he sees against the opponent and he knows what we need to do and weaknesses are. So I think overall, between the respect factor and his schemes each and every week, I think it's just a combination that works right now. And, you know, I like playing for him, and I think he's doing a great job at special teams.